you know, it's very interesting to note that when we sing the Christmas carols, we sing a lot about Jesus. Well, you would expect that. But we also sing about Mary. We sing about the angels. We sing about the wise men. We sing about the shepherds. But we hardly ever sing about Joseph. And yet, the part that Joseph played in the whole nativity was extremely important. Indeed, when God picked Joseph as the earthly father of his son, he chose really well, as you would expect God to. He chose a man who was just right for that task. But actually, we know very little about Joseph. From the Bible, we are not even sure what his age was. Some put him from, well, I read the other day, someone who said he was a 19-year-old teenager, was six. Well, I'm not sure about that. So the tradition actually says, one tradition, that he was 93 when he married Mary and she was 15. And that he died, I think it was 111, not sure about my maths here. No, more than that, perhaps. Jesus was 18. Well, there's no grounds for any of that, but that's what the legend says. But whatever his age, it's his character. The character of Joseph that shines out as an example to every Christian, or for every Christian to aim for. And one of the immediate things that I discover about Joseph is that he was solid. Doesn't mean he was strongly built, I've no idea about that. But he was solid in his faith. Joseph was raised a Jew. He was known as a righteous man even before the angel appeared to him. He was already known as a righteous man. And in that society, that meant, or the term would suggest, that he was known as someone whose beliefs affected the way he lived every day in a good way. A righteous man suggests that Joseph was no hypocrite. He didn't worship God on the Sabbath with enthusiasm and then act mean, nasty and devious the rest of the week. He was solid. Joseph was upright. Joseph was dependable. And he was also faithful in doing the requirements of his religion. We read he had Jesus circumcised on the eighth day, which was the law. We read that just over a month later, he took Mary and Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem, and there he presented the sacrifice that a new child demanded under the law. So he was very good at that. In fact, later on, we know the story of how he took Jesus to the temple when Jesus was 12 years old. Well, Luke says that was their practice every year. They did that. So here's a guy who was quite serious about keeping all the requirements of his faith. Now, of course, in all probability, he wasn't very different to many of his peers in doing that. But the point was that Joseph was solid in his faith, and God was able to use him because of that. And I sense there is a great need, especially for Christian men, to be solid in their faith and to want their belief system to be obvious in their daily living. Like a Christian police sergeant I know who keeps a Bible on his desk at the police station. And it makes a statement about the importance of his beliefs to him. But you know what? It also makes him available for God to use him in his workplace. And perhaps a challenge to you, whether you're a man or a woman, what do you have about you in your workplace, or in the place where you shop, or in your home, or in that club you go to, which says to someone, hey, this person is serious about their beliefs, and which gives God an opportunity to send people your way if they need some advice, some help, or some questions to be answered. So he was solid in his faith. But you know what? I reckon Joseph was very solid in his thinking process. Look with me at a couple of verses we read. Matthew 1:19-20. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind, and he thought a lot about it, to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Yeah, and the suggestion is that we have in Joseph a man who thought things through before he acted. He didn't speak first and then think after. He didn't act on an impulse and then regret his words and his actions later. You know what? I know Christians like that, who defend themselves by saying, well, yeah, but that's the way I am. And it may well be, but it's not who God wants you to be. Joseph wasn't like that. He could so easily have reacted angrily to Mary without much thought about it. When he found that she was pregnant, I love the way the scripture puts it. It says, and the virgin or Mary was found to be with child. And you think, well, what does that mean? Does that mean it was discovered in some way by someone else? And Joseph's only heard about it kind of along the way. What does it mean? I don't know. But I do know that it wasn't Joseph's way to go off against her. He could have. He could have reacted angrily without much thought for Mary. That wasn't his way. He thought it through. He thought it through till he came to a decision. But even when he had come to a decision, even then, he kept on considering it. He was solid the way he thought things through. And that's good. When I think of Joseph, I think of James, what James said in James 1:19. Because I think this applies to Joseph. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Now, that doesn't mean that Joseph was wishy-washy in his decision-making. When Joseph was sure of what he should do, he was very decisive. So when the angel told him, take Mary into your home, he did so. You notice that? Read scripture. Did so straight away. When later on, the angel came back and told him to leave Bethlehem because his family was in danger, he woke up, and scripture tells us he left Egypt immediately while it was still night. So when Joseph knew what God wanted him to do, he did it straight away. You know, that's something else Christian men and women need to emulate more and more, isn't it? It's how often we procrastinate. He was solid in his duty to Mary. To be pledged to someone in those days to be married was much more binding than what an engagement is today. Someone described it like a marriage without the sexual part. You see, for a period, they were a married couple, but they weren't. That's how it was. It was a preparation period before the marriage day. On the marriage day, the husband would take the wife home into his house or into the house of his parents. Then the marriage really began. But up to that point, there was this period where the commitment was so strong that it was to the extent that any other close relationship with a person of the opposite sex was absolutely forbidden. Strong as that. The bond was so close that it required a written bill of divorce to break it. And if the woman got pregnant in that time, then immense shame fell upon both the man and the woman. And if it was apparent that the woman had slept with another man and got pregnant by then, she was in big trouble. The law said she could even be stoned for that if that was discovered. So, when Joseph discovered that Mary was with child and knew he was not the father, immediately the scriptures suggest that he realized that the marriage must not happen. He was obligated to divorce Mary. And there were two ways he could do that. He could do it publicly. That meant that he took Mary and he took his writings, the bill of divorce written out, and he went and he found a judge or a priest who was in the city gate, sitting in the city gate. And there before everyone, he would explain exactly what had happened and what Mary had done. And you can imagine the scorn and the shame Mary would have been open to, but Joseph would have had his own reputation protected. Well, that was a way that would have been extremely hurtful to Mary. But he didn't do it that way. The other way was to do it privately. Same papers. But he would take them to a judge or priest that he either knew or who had a reputation for being discreet. He would lodge the papers privately, then he and Mary would go their separate ways, and to a certain extent, Mary would have been kept from that public shaming and outrage. You know, when Moses was working all this out, he believed that Mary had wronged him. But rather than treat her as badly as she had treated him, he is prepared to be kind, to care for her in some way. And I believe he did so because such, he felt, was his duty before God to that woman. Another one. He was solid in his general behaviour, in the sense that he was dependable. I reckon this becomes very apparent after his decision to take Mary home to be his wife. He was dependable in that he honoured her virginity right up to after Jesus was born. He looked after her on that arduous journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. When she was so close to having a baby, must have been tough. And when they got to Bethlehem, somehow Joseph obtained the use of a stable as a birthing suite when there was nothing to be had in the whole of the town. That was pretty good. And then after the birth of Jesus, he provided a house and income so they could survive in Bethlehem. And then when the baby was in danger, it was Joseph that had to take them to Egypt, establish a home there. And when the time was right, it was Joseph who had to take them back to Nazareth and re-establish them there. Joseph comes across as dependable, doesn't he? Very dependable, as Mr. Fix-It. The problem, however, with someone who is solid and dependable is they can also tend to be rather conservative in their ways. Resistance to change, a little stubborn perhaps, not highly adventurous, not open to new ways, new voices, sometimes even the voice of God. I know that sounds a little like you. But Joseph wasn't like that. Or if he was, God changed him. For you see, the other obvious thing about Joseph is that he was open to God's leading. You know, the most interesting thing about the Christmas story? The angel appeared more to Joseph than he did to anyone else. Did you know that? You see, the angel of the Lord appeared once to Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, in the temple. I think that was a bit of a hairy interview for the angel, actually. He appeared once to Mary in her house, face to face. I think that was a lovely time for the angel. He appeared once to the shepherds in the fields, face to face. I reckon that was an exciting time for the angel. He appeared four times to Joseph in four dreams. Did you know that? I wonder why he used dreams. It might have been because his name was Joseph. Because there's a guy in the Old Testament named Joseph. He had lots of dreams. Or it might have been because Joseph in his dreams didn't have the opportunity to argue the logic of the situation or to say no. Whatever. Whatever reason, the angel of the Lord used a dream to tell Joseph to go ahead and take Mary as his wife. And we are told, as soon as he woke, he did it. He obeyed the voice of the angel. The angel used another dream to tell Joseph to get up and flee from Bethlehem with the baby, because the baby was in danger. Joseph did not hang around for daylight. He hit the road at that very moment. And then, when Joseph was established in Egypt, he had the third dream. Read it in Matthew chapter 2, 19. When the angel told him to return to Israel. And once again, Joseph did not hesitate. He pulled up his roots and off he sets for Israel. And then as he's on his journey, when he's a little bit fearful about the political happenings in Judea at that time, he heard from the angel in yet another dream. And once again, he followed directions and he headed to Nazareth. Can I remind you that Jesus was born of a virgin in Bethlehem, and he grew up in Nazareth, and he was called a Nazarene, and in each case, all that stuff was prophesied about him in the Old Testament. And because Joseph was open to God's call upon his life, he had a part to play in the fulfillment of all those prophecies. Isn't that a great challenge that Joseph brings to us in the Christmas story? To be open to God, because God will use you to fulfill his plans and his purposes for this world. He may ask you to act in a way that seems really foreign to your conservative disposition. To climb mountains that you would prefer to walk around. To go out of your comfort zone and risk the disdain of others just to do his will. He might speak to you in a dream, still does. Or an angel in human guise. Or challenge you through his word or his servants. See, if you are willing, God will use you. He will stretch you. He will fulfill you. He will prosper you spiritually. Not necessarily physically, that's not important, but definitely you will grow spiritually through it. As we face the beginning of the new year, we've finished Christmas, we're going to a new year. I believe God expects a lot from us all. So what about us? What about you and me? Are you prepared to pray with Samuel, back there in the Old Testament, as a young boy who prayed, "Master, speak, your servant is listening." Good prayer to start with, isn't it? Are you prepared to pray with Isaiah, the priest in the Old Testament, who had that vision in the temple? "Here I am, send me." That's a courageous prayer to pray. Or with Mary, from the Christmas story itself, who said, "Lord, I am your servant. Work through me as you desire." That's the prayer God loves to hear us pray. "Lord, I am your servant. I love you. My life is in your hands. I want your plans to work out for me. So work through me as you desire."